day in 1920, August, what's today? The 18th, right? Today is the 18th, right? August 18th, 1920. How many women do we have in here? All the women, raise your hand. Come on. Come on, women, raise your hand. Dorothy, raise your hand. Okay. So, 1920 is the 19th Amendment when it was ratified. What's the 19th Amendment? Women's right to vote, right? Very important detail that, you know, our country, it's not funny, but how things kind of go from one thing to another. And like in our gender, like now we think, why weren't women ever allowed to vote? You know? So that happened this day. So yes, the 19th Amendment was 1920, August 18th. So, and you think, why shouldn't women be allowed to vote? Because they're the ones that bring all the voters into the world, right? So all the women bring all the voters into the world, so they definitely need to be able to vote. So there was a mom was telling her kids, don't steal, don't, we're going to get a little political this morning, but neutral political. So a mom was telling her kids, don't steal, don't lie, and don't cheat. And her kids asked, well, why? She says, the government hates competition. There you go on that one. And then on election day, what did Della wear? Her new jersey. Okay, I was throwing that one in there because you say Delaware, and as a guy, I like Jen will ask me, do you remember me wearing? I don't remember what I wore like yesterday. If it's on the top of the my pile, I grab it, and then I'm supposed to remember what she wears, right? And then that's kind of funny too, because then I always get, well, what shoes look best? Whatever. You know, I'm always like, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. But then what's the difference between baseball and politics? No, that's true. In baseball, you're out if you get caught stealing. But in politics, you can go for another term, I guess. But, you know, we know how politics can be. So this morning, I got to be honest, this morning I was super excited about this topic because I love this topic. I love studying it. I've studied it years, and I just love talking about it. And then this week, it actually started, when was that meeting, Roger? Monday that I missed? So I was supposed to have this meeting on Monday. That was right, this Monday? And my week just kind of went poof. I was supposed to meet Roger at church with the township, and we're looking at some stuff, getting some asking some questions on some what we could do, what we can look at, what are the codes, talking about. Sunday, I was like, okay, Roger, I'll see you here at 11:30, and I was going to put it in my phone, and I didn't put it in my phone. And Monday, I get up in the morning, and I'm like, that's today. I'm going to put that in my phone. I said, I'll remember it. Come 12:30, Roger texts me and says, hey, we're just finishing up. I'll fill you in with all the details. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I can't believe I forgot this meeting. It's like I said. So, and it just kind of started out that way. And then last night, Justin, if you go down to my office, it's going to look like a hurricane hit because my printer died. It's not working. So I couldn't print my message out. Like all my stuff I've been working on. It's like, how am I getting this out? I could longhand it. And so I email it to Justin and my other son, Jansen, at 2 a.m. I'm like, can someone print this out so I have it? So I picked my message up this morning on Justin's doorstep. But the topic is faith. Faith. And I love the topic of faith. And when you look at faith, I wanted to, but isn't that just how it works sometimes? I was under attack this week because I love this topic, and it's so important for us as believers, our faith, and honestly, this morning I was just like a bear. I was, you know how you get sometimes and your internal gut is just kind of churning and you just, that was me. I'm like, because after last night with the printer, I'm just, you know how printers can be. But anyhow, let's open up in prayer this morning because we're going to be talking about Ephesians 6:16 and the shield of faith as we continue on the armor of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Dale and Laura, Lord. I pray for a blessing upon them for filling in and doing worship. And I know they love you and just how they love to sing to you and worship you, Lord. Thank you for them. I ask a blessing on them. Thank you for their willingness to step in and help out. And so we just ask for that for them. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, you know where my heart has been the last couple days and I've been frustrated and Lord, just help me to concentrate on you. Speak to me this morning. Speak through me this morning. Help me to present your word correctly and just speak to us on this subject. It's so important for us as believers of faith. And, we just, ask that you will speak to us and join us this morning, that we're not just here thinking of our own problems and our own stuff, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. When's the last time you raised both your hands? Everyone raise both your hands. I have a hard time. When I worship the Lord, okay, on a good song, I can get one hand up. Because, you know, old Baptist-y, when I grew up, you didn't raise your hands. And it took me a long time to get one hand up just to praise the Lord. Can you worship? Can you put two hands up this morning with me? It's out of your comfort zone. Let's do something a little bit out of your comfort zone. Two hands up and just say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Just a little bit different, out of our comfort zone. All right, now let's start. Ephesians 6:16. As we've been continuing with the armor of God, Ephesians 6:16. Remember, we started giving the overview. We looked at week number one, the belt of truth. Let me get my little display out. Week number one, we looked at the belt of truth. Week number two, the breastplate of righteousness. Last week, we hit the gospel of peace on the feet. And today, we're going to hit the shield of faith. Shield of faith. So when we get through looking at all these things, for what? Why are we looking at this? Why? And it's actually very funny that I love listening to Dr. David Jeremiah. Did you ever listen to Dr. David Jeremiah? I just love his voice. I love what I think he has great messages. So he just came off of a series on the armor of God, which I didn't know. So I was catching some of his messages, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. But the armor of God. So we looked at these things, and why are we looking at this? A lot of times, because we looked at this the other week, or the other month when we talked about spiritual gifts, and a lot of churches and everyone concentrates on the spiritual gifts. But our battle, what's our battle? Our battle is it against flesh and blood? No, it's against what? It's against the spiritual realm. It's these things in the spiritual realm that are taking place. And that's where we are looking at. So we're going to continue. First, I'm going to read the armor of God again before we get into 16. So I'm going to start in 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Christians, people, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And we saw that when what happened with the angel being blocked with Daniel. Therefore, in verse 13, put on the full armor of God so that when that day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth, which we talked about, buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, the breastplate, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And then today we're looking at in verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. And I love the topic of faith because I've seen God work some amazing things. And as I told you before on my testimony, which made me really come to a full out understanding and following of Jesus Christ, is when I saw him do a miracle in front of my eyes. And that moment is when I had faith. I mean, I had faith, obviously, in Jesus Christ. I had faith that Christ was my Savior. I had faith of what Scripture says, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he came to die for us, that he died for us, he took our sins away, and he rose again. I had faith in that, but when I saw God work with my own eyes, that took my faith from, I understand the scripture, to, wow, I understand the scripture, because God is so powerful, right? So I love the topic of faith. And when we look at faith and we talk about this shield of faith, remember the Romans, they had the shield, and a lot of times they would lock the shields up to defend themselves and by themselves or as a group to protect the whole unit, or, you know, in battle, and they hit stuff and they used the shield of faith. The shield of faith to extinguish all those darts, all the fiery darts, because what are we dealing with? What's the human, the Christian dealing with? Because Satan is throwing stuff at us all day long, all night long. And now we have it on our phones. We have it on our computers. We have it on our TV. We have it on our radio. We have it with people at work. These darts that are coming. Do you know what I mean? They're like coming from everywhere. All these fiery darts to get our mind off of Jesus Christ, off of serving the Lord, off of telling someone about Christ, get it to take our mind onto doubting who Jesus Christ is, to take our mind to all my problems, like for me, like my computer wouldn't work. Oh, horrors, my computer, right? It's like, it's a computer. It's, there are these things that take our mind off of where we need to be with our faith. So when we look at this, look in the heavenly realms, Job. We're going to start looking at Job chapter 1, verse 10, because this is a heavenly realm situation in Job. Do you remember in Job? I'm going to start in verse 6, because this is kind of what is going on in the heavenly realms that we forget about, because we're so consumed with our world and our dimension. But what Ephesians is talking about, it talks about the heavenly realms. And this is kind of giving a display of what God does. Job 1. Verse 6, on the day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. This is all taking place in the heavenly realms. So wouldn't that, do we think that still happens today? I would. I mean, it happened then. we saw it happen in Daniel with these heavens and Ephesians. This is what takes place. Battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against evil politicians, right? Our battle is not against other people that we disagree with. Our battle is against these things that are taking place in the heavenly realms of the satanic, demonic world that's taking place in the heavenly realms. Verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? Have you blessed the work of his hands that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land? But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well. Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Job had this hedge of protection, and that's exactly what Satan called out to and said to God. Where was that? You have blessed the work he has, so he has flocks and herds. Everything he has, he had this hedge of protection. That's what we're looking at, that we need to put that armor on. How many times do we forget to put the armor on? Because we see in the heavenly realms, this stuff's taking place. And then so many times, when it comes to our world, the world that we're living in, we forget or don't consider to put on the shield of faith, to use the shield of faith. Now, we hear a lot of people say, well, I have faith. You hear a lot of churches today. You hear a lot of, how do I say it? Not wokeness, but you have this watered down churchiness. Do you know what I mean? Like this churchy, feely, watered down stuff that people say, I have faith. I have faith. Well, what's your faith in? Well, I have faith in my faith. Well, where's your faith at? What do you have faith in? Well, I have faith in faith. What is that? Like, what is faith in faith? What's our faith as a Christian to be grounded in? That's what the armor of God is putting out to us as believers, to put on the full armor of God. First the truth, the breastplate, the gospel of peace. Then you have this shield, a shield of faith, not a shield of faith for faith is faith. I have this faith that I'm going to win the lottery or I'm going to the casino and man, I'm going to win because I have faith, or I'm going to get this job. I have faith that it's just that mindset of positive thinking, which I'm all for positive thinking. I'm all for people to think healthy and positive. But people say, well, I have faith in that positive. If I think this and I just kind of go this way, I have faith in faith. Well, no, that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about our faith, the shield of faith, that we need to have firmly within God himself, who God is. That's what's going to take us from when those darts are coming and they get shot at us and they're fiery arrows that are coming at us of all sorts of temptation, all sorts of wickedness, all sorts of maybe not even wickedness. You go back to the garden, Eve. And you think about that deception. All Satan did was change what God said. And he caused that death. It wasn't even like it wasn't a horrendous sin, was it? She didn't go out and murder somebody. She didn't run out on her husband. I don't know where she would have gone. It was Adam and Eve, right? I mean, I don't know where. But anyhow. What she did was disobeyed a commandment that God gave her. And how many times I know in my life have I done that and still do that? That I step away out of the faith where I'm supposed to be walking on this faith of what God wants me to do, and I get sidetracked because I have this fiery arrow that's sticking into my shield, and it's not going out. Do you know what I'm talking about? How many times do we have that? Because I know I have it. I have that, those darts that are burning on my shield. And it takes our mind off of where we should be with our faith. And we start to have some doubts. And the doubts is what caused Eve then to say, oh. And that deception, that spiritual trickery that we see all over the place in our modern society of, well, you can have faith, but have faith in, I have my faith in faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. This is my favorite verse. I'm going to read it out of NIV. There's some good translations, but even the current NIV translation isn't as good as this specific NIV translation. I just love this translation from the 90s. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we do not see. And it wasn't talking about faith of faith. It's talking about faith and who God says he is. Who Jesus says he is. And he says, I am. Didn't he? He said, I am. When he was being hung on the cross, before that time, he said, I am. He knew where this was going, but he knew he had to die. He knew for us to have salvation, he had to be hung on a cross. He needed to be the sacrifice, the pure blood of Jesus Christ. And he knew that he was going to be risen again. And that's the faith that we need to put on, because those are the things when it comes to our salvation that Satan loves to throw those fiery arrows, those darts, to cause doubt. Satan did the same thing to Jesus. When Jesus was fasting, he came in, Satan came in and tried to use that deception again, that spiritual trickery to trick Christ. Well, how can you trick Christ, right? I mean, he was man, so it's possible, but it was Christ. So, you know, how can you trick Christ with spiritual trickery? And Jesus then used scripture to push off Christ, which we'll get into scripture, another form of our armor, right? But the faith that we have. So Hebrews 11:1. Now, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what are we certain in our belief system, in our system, what the Bible says that we have faith in, are we firmly planted on that? Are we firmly planted on it? Or, because now I hear, well, you know, I don't know if I believe in all the Bible. Well, what part don't you believe? Well, I don't know if I believe the book of Revelation. I don't know if I believe in, well, I certainly don't believe in the beginning of creation. There's no way possible God, who a small God is, God can't just create things out of nothing in a day, because God's so small. So it had to take all this time and evolution. And, you know, we then went into monkeys and we evolved. I mean, just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't. Where's our faith firmly planted? Hebrews 11:6, and Hebrews, obviously, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Hebrews 11:6 says this. Oh, where am I? Faith. And without faith. Not in faith, but faith in Jesus Christ, right? The truth We have the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, understanding, having faith in what Scripture says on what's righteous, having the truth of knowing that Jesus Christ is the truth, and then having the gospel of peace, and now we have the shield of faith. Without our faith turning back and holding to, this is part of the armor, how it all connects. Our faith is what we put our trust in of who the truth is, right? Of who that truth is, Jesus Christ. Our faith is what we put our trust in on what God says is righteous and how we should be living a biblical lifestyle of righteousness and how that looks. We put our faith into that from what Scripture says. And then we're firmly planted with the gospel of peace to speak to people, to hold firm, and to hold firm with the gospel of peace on our feet. We're holding firm, and then we're also advancing, and we're doing all that in faith. Because without faith, we can't please God. So I guess my question is, for many people, for many churches, there's some great churches out there. We all know of some great churches, right? We all have friends and family that are in some great churches. But we also know that there's a lot of churches that aren't focused, aren't looking at, aren't understanding the true aspect of who Jesus Christ is and where our faith is. And that we're watering down things of a faith aspect when the faith is on who Jesus Christ is. And are we putting our trust and all our thought process knowing that Jesus Christ, that God can do whatever He wants? Do I do that all the time? Because a lot of times, a lot of people, as I said, they put their faith, I need to pay this car off, and especially in America, right? I need to pay this car off. I'm going to go to the casino, and I'm going to win big, and I'm putting my faith in this couple bucks I'm putting down on the table. I heard it this past week. This guy said, man, I have faith that I'm going to put this money in the marketplace and I'm going to make all this money from this investment that I put in because I have faith in that. Well, my faith is there. And a lot of times as Christians, we have faith and it gets so jumbled up with positive thinking aspect that all of a sudden now God is a big genie. And we think that because we have faith in something, then God's going to work everything out just how we want it. And that might be from our health. That might be even us how we want to die. Just like Christ, who went to God in the garden and said, please take this from me, but I am willing to do whatever you want. Jesus' faith was strong and firm in what God's plan was. And he went to him with the request, but overall, God's decision was what? God's decision was righteousness of this has to happen. End of story. You know, if you go to other countries. I know the other year when we were in Mexico, there's a lot worse places than Mexico where people just don't even have the food, right? They don't even know what they're going to eat next. Like, what am I going to eat for dinner? And so many times there's that faith aspect and these people walk forward in faith, trusting God. And they have almost a stronger faith in God than, should I say, a more prosperous nation, right? I mean, they do. We see what happened to America. We see how America has, from when it started and then it hit the Industrial Revolution. And, you know, we know that churches were the backbone of our nation. And now our churches are sparse. Now, as we talked about before, churches are closing. Why? Because people are putting so much of their faith and what we hear in politics now, economy, 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 what's in my wallet, inflation, it's all about the driven dollar so many times. Hebrews 11:6, what's it say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Are we still earnestly seeking him? You know, we a lot of times we seek when we need something, but even when we don't need something, are we seeking God? Is that something that we are doing in our life, seeking God and having faith in, well, I know God wants me to do this. One cool thing about faith, sometimes people look at you and they're like, what the heck are you doing? That is about the stupidest thing I have, and that will never work. That's never going to work. But hey, man, God wants me to do this. And Scripture tells me that I need to be doing this. And people will say, that's not a good thing to do. And they watch. It's kind of like the ark, right? The ark. How many people at the time of Noah watched Noah building this boat nowhere near a body of water, going, what in the world is that man doing? Because God told him to do something. And honestly, let's face it, and Hebrews 11 talks about this too. Noah might not even, let's say Noah didn't even see the rain. Let's say Noah would have died before the devastation of the flood came. He was walking in faith, and even if he would have, if it would have been passed to somebody else, he did his job that he was given to do of walking in faith. And then if you get into Hebrews 11, we see that all the time about all the believers that were, and I talked about this many times too, because this is my favorite chapter, Hebrews 11:1, but how they were sliced up, how they were cut in two. Why? Because they were Christians. Because of their faith, that all this stuff happened solely because of their faith. Do you ever have a burning desire? Do you want a burning desire? There's songs out there, Burning Desire and all these things. A burning desire. I never really looked up the definition because we kind of all know. But the definition of a burning desire is extreme, intense, or want to do something very much. It's this extreme, like I have to. You have this burning, it doesn't go away, this desire that does not go away. And you see that with a lot of people with addictions, and you see that with people that, you know, that burning desire, right? It just burns. Okay, now we take that burning desire and you flip that over to what we're talking about, Ephesians 6, about these flaming arrows. So now all of a sudden, and we've talked about this before, about the desires of our heart. You remember that I talked about before when we talked about the harbor and what comes into the harbor, and we talked about desire and how we have these desires. And Satan in the heavenly realms knows humanity, and he knows where our desires are. So all he's doing is taking his bow, or maybe if it's Bob, it's a crossbow. He wimps out. So if you do the crossbow, but I use my compound bow, so I'm going to do compound bow. So if you take, your bow and you pull that, the demonic realm is taking their bow back with these fiery arrows because they already know our desires, and they'll hit it, and they're coming right at our shield, and they're shooting it at our shield. And if we don't have our shields up, if we're not ready walking in our faith correctly, if we're just walking in faith of faith, but not faith on who God says he is and what the power that he has said he has, and we don't really trust that, then those flaming arrows start to burn. And that burn becomes then a burning desire. And then all of a sudden our burning desire of the sin that we, that the desire we had in our life that might have not been sin at the get-go, now all of a sudden becomes sin. And that's all Satan in the heavenly realm is trying to do, is pull us away, continue to pull us, continue to hit at us to back away from who God is, because Satan hates God. Satan hates God's principles. Satan hates the principles that are given to us to live by in Scripture. How's our shield? How's our shield? Because if we can't have our shield firmly planted in faith, then it's impossible for us to please God. It's impossible for us to please God. Even here, I have full faith that this church one day will be filled with people. I really do. But that's not up to me. That could be 20 years from now. Janet's like, no, not 20 years. So, but I'm just saying, the reality of it is, it doesn't matter. You know, God has to work. We know the principles that God has set forth. We know God wants His church to be filled. But if people don't have faith to step out and trust who He is, and they're just more worried about their economical situation, and how many people are out, well, I got to exercise on Sunday morning. I got to go take care of my horses on Sunday, or whatever it may be. And some Sundays you got to do that. I'm not saying that. I mean, but overall, people have forgotten where our faith stems. Our faith stems. 1 John, we're going to end with this. 1 John 5:4. For everyone born, I'm going to start in 3. This is the love of God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. What overcomes the world is our faith. What overcomes our situation of humanity that we are born into is our faith. This week, in your own time, once you've been in your closet, if you feel whatever, put your hands up to the Lord. Dual hands. Just do something different this week to worship the Lord. And do this on your own time. Do this on your own and lift your hands up to the Lord and say, Lord, I have full faith in You. I put my armor of faith, my shield of faith is on You. And just worship Him that way, just between you and the Lord. I encourage you to do that this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are a tremendous God that I can't fathom. Lord, I know that when we talk about faith and when we look at Hebrews 11 about all these godly men and women and believers throughout history that have just stepped out in ways because You have told them and that they held to their faith and walked a walk worthy to be called one of the heroes of Scripture, one of a person of faith where Scripture tells us that the earth, the world was not worthy of them because their faith was so great, Lord. Lord, I pray for that for me. I pray for a faith in you, in your words, and what you want me to do, what you want this church to do, and how you want us to function and thrive and do maybe some weird stuff. I don't know, but Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you give us the faith that, and that we can walk in that same manner that these men and women walked in Hebrews 11. Because you tell us, Lord, that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And sometimes, Lord, many times we can't see it. And that's where our faith comes in. And Lord, help us to walk that way in our faith. Help us to walk that way in our faith when we talk to our neighbors, when we talk to someone at the store or how our family, whatever it may be, but help us to live by that faith of encouraging people to come to know you and base their life on what you want us to do for believers. In your name we pray. Amen.